I'm Jackie Vetrano from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
And I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social, part of the Connect EDU network.
I feel like I've snuck into the cool kids table, and I'm just going to do my level best to not let on as much as possible.
I do that every episode.
I was going to say, if Logan's on the show, then you're automatically, like, you're fine. We just fly by the seat of our pants here at Higher Ed Social. It's been 4 years, and we still don't have a script ever. So it's
The end script.
Well, that doesn't count.
Like, last episode, I couldn't even read it straight from my phone.
Was that the Golden Nuggets episode?
That was the Golden Nugget episode, yep.
I loved it. That was my favorite. Talk about, I think I said this in an email. I felt like that I was snuck into a party of people who I shouldn't have been allowed there. It was great.
Well, that was actually the whole idea of the show, is to have that feeling. So at least one of them has that.
We're doing something right. For sure. Well, we're so, so excited to have you. I know that Logan probably already hit record on the show, which is his habit of surprising our guests and just hitting record. So surprise, you're here. Welcome to the Cool Kids Table, as you dubbed it. I just want listeners to know that I did not say that we're the Cool Kids Table. That was a compliment received.
And also keep in mind that the table last week was literally in the basement of a pub next to a bunch of vats that were making beer with really actually good, like, 80s music to go with it. So
there's a lot of good 80s music.
There is a lot of good 80s music. But there's also a lot of bad 80s music as well.
That's fair.
There's just a lot in the 80s. Were you born yet?
In any case, we should definitely now start by asking you to introduce yourself, for sure.
Sure. Well, I'm James Stafford. I'm the Director of Marketing and Public Relations at the University of Mary Hardin Baylor in Belton, Texas. I've been here about 7 years, and I sort of never planned to be where I am now, but I have just fallen in love with my school and this industry, and I'm so grateful to have sort of stumbled into it. So
now I want to hear the story. How did you stumble into it?
Oh, it's a very similar story to everyone I meet at a conference. I started life, I guess, as a film major, and didn't discover until long after graduation that I was secretly a data nerd. And my first job out of school was in media. I worked at a television station and for a while as a photographer, and then my news director at the time thankfully had a lapse in judgment and let me take a shot at being the promotions director, sort of doing the marketing for the TV station, and have gone from there to, you know, a few steps later, and I find myself at the university, and I just the first time I stepped onto a campus and realized, well, I could go to college every day and not have homework. That, you know, it's been kind of a joy ever since. So
that's so great. I love that. I'm also a data nerd, so I support it.
I am as well. It's really interesting how you ended up there, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's one of those things that every job I've had since I worked at the TV station, I sort of thought, I'm never going to do video again. And every job I've had since the TV station, I think a major part of why I got the job was because I could do video. So it's one of those things. But it's great. And yes, discovering that, you know, as much as I wanted to be the creative film guy in school, that I have a deep and passionate love affair with Excel spreadsheets. It's, you know, I never would have guessed it.
I think you're the only one to describe it like that, though.
Well, yes.
I can't say I love Excel. I was in a big fight with it last week.
It's an unhealthy a love affair that I have with it. My friends and family will tell you that for any question in life, I'm the guy who says, "Well, we could build a spreadsheet to help us sort this out."
So. That's the whole point of spreadsheets, is for sorting.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything from how we divide up family time at Christmas to which movies I need to see before the Oscars so I'll have the best idea of what should win. Yeah.
See, I've made some pretty amazing spreadsheets in my day. So when you have a whole worksheet dedicated to formulas that generate mm-hmm. stuff in other worksheets, that's just amazing. And it makes me happy every time I do it.
It really,
because it's like magic. Like, people don't understand how it works.
As you say that.
I completely disagree.
Well, you know.
There's something very satisfying about a formula that like autofills 18 different cells on your spreadsheet. Like,
it is. Yes. I mean, there is something about that just fills you with a euphoria inside that just can't be matched by anything else. I mean, it can be matched. It's just a different kind of euphoria, right?
It's so true. We right now, I'm eagerly awaiting. We've done a big survey of our current freshman class, and I'm fortunately not having to enter each survey, but I am so excited to get my hands on all those responses and to sort of try and unlock whatever stories those numbers have to tell, you know? So mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Speaking of data, Logan, I'm interested if you can go into like whatever Apple's giving you and see what our drop-off rate at this exact moment is, because I feel like we've lost so many people because they're like, oh, math. And this is what I hate. So I'm a digital marketer, but I get to do data stuff too, and I'm like the numbers person, and everyone is like, oh, you just do numbers and math and I don't want to hear from you. And I was asked to present to my entire monthly staff meeting about numbers and graphs and charts. And I was like, nobody's going to listen to me because everybody just says like, oh, math, numbers, I'm out. And I'm like, no, but they're really cool. Like, watch what I can do with this cool chart and look what it's telling us. It's so cool.
Oh, yeah. I did warn you that I didn't belong at the cool kids table. I did.
Well, listen, I'm sitting at whatever table you're sitting at then because I'm all in for data.
Well, what I love is how, you know, with the right kind of data and the right lens, we can really slay some, you know, commonly held thoughts about our brand or about what our messaging should be. We can really find out, you know, what the truth is and not just, you know, get beyond the anecdotes that sort of rule us sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's true.
Sometimes.
Well, you know, we all see, that's the thing about data is, you know, we all see different things when we look at it sometimes. And I know that's an odd thing to say, but it's true. You can spin numbers any way you want. But man, I feel horrible saying that, but it's just something I've learned over the years, you know?
Sure.
But it's not necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a good thing, but sometimes it's not a good thing.
Sure. Yeah. What's the Mark Twain quote about lies and statistics? Yeah. Yeah.
That is good. I feel like I know that one.
I think there's three kinds of lies, damn lies, and statistics. So
that will be the title of this episode now.
Oh, heaven help me.
There are lies, damn lies, and statistics.
Either that or something about spreadsheets.
Right.
Something about spreadsheets. I was actually in a big fight with Excel the other day. So when you were like, I love Excel, I was like, no, we're not.
Well, you should have shook your finger at it and said, you know what? Google Sheets is just one URL away.
Do you ever have this moment though where I'll be in another meeting or even eating dinner with my family and I'll suddenly realize what small alteration I could make to an equation or a formula that like that would solve it all?
Well, my big problem is I want to do a very particular thing, but I don't know the Google search terms to accurately find the thing I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I have a number and I want it to do that, but also not do this.
That is definitely a thing.
It is challenging. So are you mostly data and numbers then at work, or are you, what are your, all of your responsibilities?
Oh, well, I wear a lot of different hats. I do all of our press releases and media pitches and media relations. I'm often closely involved with any kind of video work we're doing. Right now, I'm updating our virtual tour, and next weekend I'm responsible for organizing our military appreciation football game. So, lots of hats, and I enjoy them all, especially when they're not all coming down on me at once. So,
ain't that the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I definitely feel that a lot.
Yeah, I was going to ask what's on your plate now that we're like over halfway into the semester now, which is crazy.
Crazy. yes, the two biggest projects I'm currently working on are military appreciation next weekend. We have we're about a 30-40 minute drive from Fort Hood, which I think is the largest military base in the country. And so we try as much as we can to build partnerships and strong relationships on the base, and this is one of the ways we do it, is we host a football game where soldiers and their entire family get in and get free hot dogs and drinks, and then we try and feature them as in different ways throughout the game. So just mm-hmm. a way to sort of strengthen those relationships, and so that's on one end of the spectrum, and on the other I'm trying to make sure we have the most attractive pictures of every part of our campus for our virtual tour, so kind of running the gambit.
Are you the one taking the photos?
Sometimes we have, thankfully we are blessed with some great photographers around campus. But we're increasingly trying to utilize 360 degree photos. And I am usually the one setting up that tripod and then running to get out of the shot. So
that's always fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've sat under a tripod before waiting for something to scan.
I have not tried that yet. You've just given me a great idea. A very embarrassing image for people walking by. That may be a lot better than running and hiding behind columns, which has been my
the thing
stretch.
That's funny and also strategic. I like it.
Well, when I've done my 360s, at least the last ones that I did, we did them from the tops of our buildings on the green roofs. So there's literally nowhere to hide. So the only place I could hide was like literally under the camera, which was under the tripod. So I'd bring a little, the Pelican case that I have, my camera that does the 360, I'd just sit on it under the camera. So just imagine that. Just imagine that.
Does anyone take a picture of you doing that? Because I want it.
No, because then they'd be in the shot. Right, so, you know.
Mm.
That's amazing, though. Does the 360 camera... It's you have the one that has kind of like the two lenses, like one on one side, one on the other, or
yes,
does it
that's
rotate?
What we're using. Yeah, no, we have the one that's sort of like two GoPros just attached to one another. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Then there's nowhere to hide. I was gonna like the mental image of it like going in a circle and taking that shot, and you like being exactly behind it the whole time, like running in a circle, is pretty funny.
Like I was dodging a raptor in Jurassic yes. World. Yeah.
Mine's Absolutely. A DJI Osmo, so it does like spin around. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, does it go really fast?
Yes, faster than you can. And it's very unpredictable in what it decides to take a picture of. So
I think you should try it just once to outrun it.
Yeah, but it takes a while for it to take the picture. So
interesting.
I don't really want to have to do that because it takes about 2 or 3 minutes for it to take the photo because it takes 27 separate photos. So, yeah. I really don't want to have to redo it because it's a pain in the ass to have to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Sure. We're using it. I think it's a Ricoh Theta. And so we set it up. But what I'm actually doing, I said photography, but we shoot a video. We try and shoot a 2-minute straight video so that theoretically someone taking the tour can kind of look around and experience the environment. But it does mean that I have to run and hide behind a column like a Looney Tune character and then wait for 2 minutes hoping it doesn't fall over or get stolen while I'm not looking. So
oh my God.
It's entertaining.
That is awkward.
Well, I think it'd be funny if do any of your shots involve just like crowds of people? Mm-hmm. Like if it's like, where's Waldo, but it's like, where's James? Like you're
that
in every single shot.
That was me yesterday at our homecoming game. If you end up looking at our map in a few days at the stadium, I will be in shots, just I'm behind three or four people. So then I had that thought yesterday.
That is incredible. We'll have to grab some of these photos from you then.
I'll send them your way. I'm not sure how good they'll be yet. We'll see.
Well, the going joke at Belmont is that I make a cameo in almost every Belmont video, and you just have to look and see.
You're the Alfred Hitchcock of Belmont.
Yeah. Well, it's because, you know, I'm usually shooting something, or we didn't have enough students for this one B-roll shot or something like that.
So you pose as a student?
Oh, at least my back, I look pretty much like a student, so... Can't see the gray hairs at that point.
I think I'm in several of our drone shots just by virtue of it's far enough out that, you know, if you don't know where I am, you wouldn't be able to spot me. But
right, I don't think the only like cameo I've ever made was like straight up cameo when I got to be a mascot, and then we made some gifs and I was on a 404 page for a really long time. But other than that,
like a big furry mascot.
Yeah, I got in the costume. It was great. Tremendous. It was pretty good. So that's the only time I've done it, but I've never been... I don't think I've ever posed as a student. No, there was... No, not even that time. Nope. I guess I'll have to put that on my higher ed bucket list.
There you go.
As a student. So you said you had homecoming this weekend. How was that? What does that look like? Because I didn't go to a school that really had a homecoming. We technically did, but we didn't have football. So I feel like homecoming doesn't exist without football.
Well, and I went to a big school that had homecoming, but sort of I didn't experience it as homecoming. Whereas at UMHB, it's a major event, or several major events, I should say, all around campus. I took my whole family out. We went to the football game, and it was great. Just a lot of energy. It's wonderful to see, you know, people who haven't seen each other in years, you know, reconnecting all around you and the conversations. Oh, it's great. It's just another level of the great energy that makes working on a college campus so fun.
Super fun.
I hope our homecoming becomes like that. We've been doing more and more events and inviting more and more people earlier over the last, like, 2 years. But I feel like we're really starting to build a tradition around it. What's weird for us, though, is that we don't have football. So our homecoming is in the spring semester when it's cold. it's different, but it's gotten better, I'd say.
That's interesting you do it not in the fall.
I mean... If we do it in the fall, then it would be like soccer, which isn't really what Belmont's known for. We're known for basketball, so basketball is kind of the bigger thing.
Interesting.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
We have a thriving football team, so that is a big part of the celebration. But now our alumni department has created several events, and they I think they've been really strategic about targeting different generations and different years of graduates. So it seems to really draw a really mixed and diverse crowd. It's pretty neat to see. My role with it was really just capturing video and some photos and then eating the food at the football stadium. I took that part very seriously.
Yes. That is a very important part of your role.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, like, what is your, because I, you know, being, when I was in central communications in a school that did have homecoming, I didn't have too much of a role because that was more like alumni relations and our event planning and then obviously athletics. So I was curious your role and like what your team is responsible for on that day.
On the day, really all I was doing this year was capturing some video and those 360 shots. You know, we have a pretty large stadium, and so there aren't that many games during the year that we're going to get it close to filled up and full of people and, you know, spirited shirts and things. So homecoming is a great opportunity to show it off to the fullest.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what cameras do you use? I mean, beyond the one that you mentioned, the 360 camera.
Well, this week I was just using... I'm making noise because I'm pulling it out right now to look at it. we don't have a dedicated video camera in my office, so I borrow them from our AV team. So mm-hmm. I just had a Canon, it's a XA10, just a little prosumer model.
Oh, yeah, I have one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah, we... it's a sturdy little camera. it does what it needs. It does exactly what it's designed to do. Mm-hmm. We use it, or at least we used to, use it a lot for interviews and such. We ended up getting a DSLR to replace it mm-hmm. because it was already like 3 or 4 years old and was, you know, starting to be a little buggy. We ended up getting a Panasonic Lumix GH4.
Ooh.
And it's nice. It's a nice camera. It's not the top of the line anymore, but mm-hmm. you know, for the price for what you get, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted something that does 4K. That was the big thing for me. Especially with interviews, because then you can do jump cuts where you mm-hmm. crop in and zoom in. So it looks like you're using a two camera setup when really you're not. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, I don't mind this camera because it's got the XLR input. So yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's not bad for an interview. But I agree, I do I do hope someday we'll have a 4K because a lot of the video we use for our homepage video and things like that, we really like for it to have that higher resolution. But we were doing this weekend, it was perfect.
Oh no, that's perfect for that kind of thing. Yeah. It like I said, it's a great little camera. It's a great little camera.
I like that you called it sturdy. That sounds like someone who's dropped a camera.
Yes, I've dropped it a couple times. And it has night vision, which is something I never used, but there's a thing.
I saw that button. They put it really prominently. They're proud of that infrared, but I was trying to think of why I would ever use it. And
yeah, let's not talk about how people use the XA10's night vision mode. And talk about something else.
This is all going so far over my head. I've never heard of any of these cameras.
Oh no, I've taken you down another potentially boring number filled road.
It's okay. I mean there were a lot of numbers there and they weren't even like math numbers. They were just like, I've never heard of these cameras in my lifetime. I support it though. I support you. I support passions. That's why we have Higher Ed Social. I support passions. So is film and photography kind of your passion?
Film, definitely. I grew up with two parents who were both sort of cinemaphiles, and I was raised on westerns and Alfred Hitchcock movies, I still love it. I go to a marathon every year of all the Best Picture nominees. We watch them in one 24-hour stretch, wow. Which to some people sounds great, and to other people it sounds like torture. I've always loved film and I do enjoy when we get to do a big polished video project where I'm not necessarily behind the camera, but I'm trying to help, guide the project through to something that's maybe a little schnazzier than we could do with our prosumer camera.
That's really cool. I'm trying to think if it sounds great or awful to watch all those movies in 24 hours, and I think I'm on the great train.
You should come down to Dallas and do it with us.
I would love to come to Dallas. I consider that a true invitation. I will be at your door within a week. I will be there. We've had so many guests that are like, come on over. And I have not taken them up on it. So mm-hmm. I support that.
That's interesting.
Are you researching cameras, Logan? I can hear it in your
Oh, it will be. I'm not looking at cameras. But I do want to look at some lenses, some new lenses and stuff pretty soon. I do, like you, I do just about every video project that Belmont does, I have some connection to or do it mm-hmm. or am doing it. So it's definitely interesting to be that person on campus,
mm-hmm.
Especially when you're responsible for, you know, everything else.
Right.
So... you know, on my side of things, I'm responsible for social media and video and the website. So all of that stuff falls under me. So it's always interesting. It's always fun. Never a boring day at Belmont.
Sure. Well, and it's one of those things that, you know, we watch great videos from other institutions, and, you know, sometimes you get so inspired, and then trying to find how to translate some of those powerful messages and images onto a much, much lower budget is it's a challenge. But every now and then you get it right, and it's a pretty wonderful feeling.
So. One of the interesting things that I see now, just from doing video work and film work, you never watch a video or a movie or a TV show the same way, because in your brain you're like, how did they shoot that? How did they get that angle? How did they make that camera movement? Did they use a dolly? Did they use a stabilizer? Mm-hmm. You know, it actually takes all the fun out of it sometimes. But it's interesting because, you know, every time I see something and I'm just like, how do they do that? It just, you know, it excites me.
Oh yeah. And when you see someone who's doing it at a really high level, and then just the challenge of trying to approach it, you know, with less resources, we've started increasingly using drone footage, and trying to get footage that's going to live up to the vision you have in your head is sometimes so challenging, as far as, you know, less movement, slower, stiller, you know, pushing it that way, as opposed to the way maybe a real estate firm is going to use the same videographer, you know, trying right. to get them to jump over. It's a challenge, but when you see that shot, or when you get to share a video with someone on campus and they go, ooh, you know you've got something. Mm-hmm.
Well, the lucky thing for me, I have this team of guys. I think they're out of Atlanta. Their name is Yonder Blue Films. They do our drone footage, and they are like cinematographers. So they just do an amazing job of getting me the shot that I want. But they do just an amazing job. We just shot our drone footage like last week or week before last. And I haven't been able to go through all of it, but, you know, the highlighty things that I definitely need definitely look amazing. And I'm really excited to see. I did a lot of we shot with a DJI Inspire. And I did some 1080 at 60 frames per second, which we've never done drone footage at 60 frames per second before. And some of it just looks really amazing.
So will you speed that up when you edit it, so it'll be a little stiller, or what was the logic behind 60 frames?
When you shoot at 60 frames per second, you can slow the speed. So if your video is at 24 frames per second, you can actually slow it by like to like 30% speed. So yeah, it's pretty awesome. Actually, it's more like 40%, but you can get slow motion out of that, if that makes sense.
But with the drone, are you using that slow because will the shot end up being more of a stable movement when you go to that slow speed? Or,
well, it's more the people when it's pointing down at people, they look like when they're walking, it's just in slow motion. So do you have an Apple TV? I don't know. Maybe nobody does. If anyone has an Apple TV, especially one of the new generation ones, a lot of the screensavers are 60 frame per second drone footage that has been slowed down. And it just looks amazing. Like when you're flying over Santa Monica Pier and you see the waves slowly crashing and you see the roller coasters just moving in slow motion on the tracks, it's just epic. Shooting anything in 60 frames per second and then slowing it down just makes it look 10 times more epic. That's Logan's video like thing of the day. So like if you have somebody and they're like digging a hole, right, you slow it down, you shoot at 60 frames per second and you slow it down, they're digging in the ground just looks really cool. It just adds that extra element of just awesomeness. I learned it from my student worker. So
Oh yeah, yeah. That's my golden nugget so far. Next time I have my drone guys out, I'm gonna say, hey, let's slow now, it down.
Let me tell you though, the problem with 60 frames per second is that there are sometimes artifacts and stuff. Especially if you're using an older drone, and when I say older, I mean like 2 years old.
Sure.
And especially in low light situations, and busy situations. So the best time to use that is when there's less like leaves and trees and stuff. Hmm. Well lit, like there's lots of sunlight. Mm-hmm. If you do it in the darkness, it just doesn't do it as well. So, So anyway, there's Logan's fun fact. And also, I mean, I believe the XA10 does 60 frames per second. So you should give it a try.
I might have to. With the camera, though, I definitely, you'd have to lock it into a tripod, and outdoor would get really important there as far as, because you can't open the iris as wide, I'd guess. Now I have to play with it, though. This is my takeaway. I'm now going to play with 60 frames.
And I just mean that with the 60 frames with the drone camera, because drone cameras aren't as good. The XA10 is actually much better, or any DSLR usually does a pretty good job. We shoot all of our stabilized shots with we have a Zhiyun Crane stabilizer, gimbal kind of deal. Yeah. And we put our GH4 on that, and we shoot at 60 frames per second, and it does a really awesome job. In fact, we have lots of videos that you can see that are all fun 60 frame per second shot with that. We also use a Sony, what is that thing? Crap. A7S. That's what Ben uses. So we use a variety of cameras.
Yeah, I'm imagining your camera bunker looks something like, you know, a Terminator when they open up the arsenal and it's just wall to wall. You've got red on this wall.
It's not. It's now our motion pictures program, definitely. Mm-hmm. Mine, they're in a cabinet that latches. And that's it.
It's far less exciting than the image in my head.
It's mm-hmm. not super exciting.
When are we going to get to the point where all that gets replaced by, like, the iPhone?
Oh, we are in a place. the iPhone shoots 4K 60 frames per second. With the right gimbal, which they make. Osmo makes a mobile gimbal for iPhones and various other things like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. you can make some really cinematic stuff with an iPhone. Like really, really cinematic stuff with an iPhone. Yeah. So yeah,
there've been a couple feature films that got wide release that were all done on iPhones. Yeah.
Yeah. There are I think it's called iFilm or something like that. There's the one I use is Procam, but you can actually manually adjust everything on the iPhone with those apps, including like aperture, ISO, just all that fun stuff, shutter speed. Hmm. So,
wow, isn't that crazy?
You can get some real professional level stuff out of an iPhone if you try really mm-hmm. hard.
Yeah. I've definitely found myself in a spot trying to get photos of an event and suddenly realizing I didn't have a battery or that I was out of space. Mm-hmm. And I've definitely used my cell phone for some photos that went on the web. And there's maybe two people on campus who would be able to tell the difference. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With a properly stabilized iPhone, you can do a whole lot. Mm-hmm. It's all about how steady your hand is.
I mean, granted, when I was in high school, I was taking film classes, so I know how to develop film, and now the whole camera's in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. Look how far we've come.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember when the first iPhone came out telling someone, why would you want to use a camera that's not going to be good as your camera? You know, I'm quite the futurist.
How silly you were.
Yeah.
I back then, I've gone back and looked at pictures from my original iPhone. Hell, I still have my original iPhone. I should plug it in and take a picture with it. The iPhone 3GS, like, its photos were horrible, just horrible, just blurry and just bad.
Yeah.
But I think Yeah, I still got it. There it is. I've got it on my table over here because I dug it out of a drawer. I'll have to plug it in and charge it and take a picture with it.
I'm shocked that you still have it.
Oh, do you know how much those are worth?
I can't imagine that much.
Even mine with a cracked screen is worth about $600.
Really?
Yeah. One out of the box sold for like 15 grand or something like that.
As an artifact of a
yeah, because it's 10 years old. And there weren't that many of them. I mean, if you really think about it, a lot of people, only a few million of them were ever sold. So, yeah.
Wow.
So the original iPhone is currently worth, used off of eBay. I just pulled it up. First generation iPhone 2G, 8 gigabyte, $3,620.
Wow.
An original out of the box that hasn't been opened and is not used sold for $15,000. And that was in 2014, so they're worth more now.
That's crazy. Now so I September feel silly. 12th. But here's the thing, like, I kept all my Beanie Babies thinking they were going to be worth a ton of money, and they're not. So yeah, how
that
do I know?
Market could still come back. There's no telling.
Mother, do you hear that? Are you listening? Hold on to those. I don't know.
So, yeah, a working iPhone. And this story came out. This was this one came out September 12th, 2018. They were saying, oh, yeah, you think your iPhone XS is expensive. They say that there was a 4 gigabyte original iPhone sold for $1,025. That's a used one. And an unopened sold for $4,640. And some optimistic sellers have buy it now prices listed at
$10,000. Wow.
So there you go. You could get at least a... It's worth more than the $599 I paid for it.
Just in time for the Christmas holidays.
Yeah.
Get some obsolete phone technology.
I mean, what more would you want?
Well, technically it's not obsolete. It should still work. In theory.
I mean, I don't know. That's just, what are you going to do with it? Like,
you can play music on it.
Well, doesn't the operating system like not work on it? Like the newest operating system wouldn't work on it, right?
No, but it still can run the original operating system. It can surf the internet. It can play your iPod music.
I mean, at that point, I may as well just go get one of those new iPads that are coming out or whatever, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to.
Some might say you would get more use out of that.
I don't know. Jackie, I don't know. Do you like iPads?
No, I do not. They're too big. They don't fit in my small pockets.
Anyway.
I don't know. I'm not a good millennial because I don't like technology that much. So.
Well, I've got my iPhone here, and I had to find a 30-pin connector really quick. But luckily, I just have one lying around, you know?
Of course.
So I'm just going to plug it in and see if it still works. And it might take a minute.
I'm sure it'll take several hours. Probably beyond dead. When's the last time you touched that thing?
Probably about 5 years ago.
That's insane.
Well, it turned on, and it's showing the battery charging little thing. So.
Wow.
And it's all glass and like a glass battery. With like a little red line at the end. Very Scott Forrestal. He was the guy who originally, anyway. Yeah, well, I'll tell you in a minute if it loads.
I'm so impressed right now.
Yeah. It's so small. It's like tiny. It's like a little bitty phone in my hands. That's really, really thick.
That was back when they still had headphone jacks, right?
Yeah, it's probably...
Oh, the good old days.
It's almost twice as thick as my iPhone now. With a case on it, though, it's not quite as thick, but... Anyway, I don't see how people did stuff on this tiny little screen. And I remember when I got the screen, I was like, damn, this screen is huge. And now, like, all it is a screen. So, there you go.
I just don't.
What
I don't know. You... What do I, like, what? Okay. If you want to hold on to it, Logan, you hold on to it.
Well, it's like, okay, so the reason why I think this thing is worth so much is because it's literally the phone that changed the world. I mean, maybe that's, I don't really actually think it's an over-exaggeration because the iPhone really was the first smartphone that was a touchscreen, and now every phone out there is that.
Sure.
It was the first computer in your pocket.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you could surf the internet on it. I mean, imagine now being in a meeting and not being able to Google something to prove someone wrong.
Oh, yeah. Before that phone, you could disagree about something and potentially never know who was right.
That's right.
I guess that's true. My life has changed.
Can you imagine a world where you can't just imagine that world? Can you just quickly email that to me? And then people email it to you, and then you pull it up, and then you discuss it in the meeting? Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. Before, you'd have to go back to your office and then email it, and they would have to go to their office and email it, and then they would have to print it out, and then they would have to bring it to the meeting. That's a huge waste of time. Plus, imagine not being able to see like what time it is or what the weather is. Well, I mean, you have to look at a watch.
If only there was a way that we could access the time.
You are describing the late 90s as if it was Little House on the Prairie.
Like, Logan, there was a time where people had calculators on their wrist. And now we're back to that time. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It is more than a calculator.
It also
you do know that the first Apple Watch, right, had a processor nearly as powerful as a Cray supercomputer.
Wow.
Back in the 80s. So.
Yeah. More technology than they had when they went to the moon. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they were. I think that was less than like a TI-84 or whatever. Which, why are they still... Okay, we're sitting here talking about all of this amazing technology. Why do... When I go into the campus bookstore, there are still TI-84 graphing calculators. Like,
what do you right mean, there.
Mom? Why? Like, why? Why does anyone need those?
My assumption is that people aren't allowed to have their phones out during exams.
That's a good assumption.
I mean, it's true. You would think that anything you could do on that calculator, you could do with your phone if you were allowed to have your phone.
You can actually tell Siri to graph something for you and she will graph it.
I just remember feeling proud that I, you know, could get play a game on my TI-83. Yeah.
Right.
I remember that. I remember those times where you would download the games. Oh, man. My kids aren't going to know this cool stuff. I'm really sad.
They're not going to be able to play Snake?
No.
Snick?
And they're not going to, like, write hello upside or 4-3, whatever, like, to write hello upside down? Like.
Oh, it's turning on, Jackie. It's turning on.
Wow.
It's alive.
It's alive.
James, I'm so glad you were here for this moment, really.
It feels like we should be playing, you know, some very epic music.
Yeah, Logan, I hope that you're cutting in some epic music during the editing.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely have that music paid for because licensing, you know.
Absolutely.
Wow, it's taking forever, but it's just got a little Apple symbol, so that means... Oh, there it is. Up. It restarted.
What if it bursts into flames right now, Logan? What would you do? Like into just a small little fire.
Oh, wow. The battery had not charged enough and it shut itself down as soon as it showed me the icons. And now it's back to charge screen.
Well, leave it overnight. See what happens.
Yep. Well, I think that's all the time we have left for the show.
It probably is. It probably is.
Thank God. Anyway, James,
so
welcome
to
the party.
James, thank you.
Is it as great as you thought it would be?
It was everything I dreamed of and more.
awesome.
Thank you so much for letting me hang out the cool table, the cool kids table for a little while here.
We love
you're,
having
you're
you.
You're now apparently part of the cool kids table.
Are we cool though? We talked about numbers the whole time.
I am so sorry.
I'm okay with that.
I
got off on an iPhone gig.
We said football two or three times.
We did.
We name checked non-number things.
Well, we really appreciate you being on the show and bringing all of your nerdiness, and we are very glad to hear that we're the cool kids on the
Absolutely.
Block.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you ever need a pep talk. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for putting this show on so folks like me can hear what people are doing all around the country and very different campuses facing similar challenges and finding neat ways to overcome them. And I am going to be playing with 60 frames per second in the near future.
I can't wait to see it.
Oh, I'm going to be looking at Belmont Video as soon as I hang up.
Well, I can't wait to see your videos. Yay. Well, James, thank you so much again for hanging out with us this week at the Cool Kids Table. Listeners, we're so glad you could sit with us too. You could head over to our website, which is higher-ed.social, and you can get links to all the really great stuff that we talked about today, and maybe possibly a photo of Logan's working ancient iPhone. And you can also subscribe to our show there and pretty much anywhere else that you listen to your podcasts. If you like our show, please give us a review. We are on Apple Podcasts. And of course, follow us on Twitter. We are at HES Podcast. And of course, shoot us a tweet, especially if you want to be on the show. We love meeting new people and we love talking to you. So let us know. Higher Ed Social is produced by the awesome Emma Hawes and is part of the Connect EDU Network, which is the first podcast network for higher education. You can visit the website connectedu.network and subscribe to some awesome shows no matter where you work on campus. Have a great week.